Go ahead and turn your Bibles, if you would, this evening to the book of 2 Samuel, chapter 17. 2 Samuel, chapter number 17. Looking forward to delivering a message that God has placed on my heart this past week, how we are going through a series of people who commit suicide in the Word of God. And the reason why I've chosen this is because really God's dealt with me on this, to deal with this. Because there are people who, even in the Christian church, will struggle with the thought of suicide. And we can be honest with ourselves because we've all probably have thought this some way or another. Oh, I'd be better off dead. Things like that. I should just kill myself because mom and dad and my brothers and sisters would be so much more happier without me. That's the thought process that we have on this at times. So I think it's important for us to go through this. Tonight we're going to be reading the first 23 verses of chapter number 17. My confusion this morning, I said this is going to be the last night of this. Actually, we're taking a two-week break because I won't be here next Sunday night and Brother Randy King will be here the following week. But I'm going to pick up the last two here in the next couple of weeks that we're going to be dealing with. So let's read verse number 1 down through verse number 23. It says, "Moreover, Ahithophel said unto Absalom, Let me now choose out 12,000 men, and I will arise and pursue after David this night. And I will come upon him while he is weary and weak-handed, and will make him afraid, and all the people that are with him shall flee, and I will smite the king only. And I will bring back all the people unto thee. The man whom thou seekest is as if all return, so all the people shall be in peace. And the saying pleased Absalom well, and all the elders of Israel. Then said Absalom, Call now Hushai the Archite also, and let us hear likewise what he saith. And when Hushai was come to Absalom, Absalom spake unto him, saying, Ahithophel hath spoken after this manner, shall we do after his saying? If not, speak thou. And Hushai said unto Absalom, The counsel that Ahithophel hath given is not good at this time. For said Hushai, Thou knowest thy father and his men, that they be mighty men, and they be chafed in their minds, as a bear robbed of her whelps in the field, and thy father is a man of war, and will not lodge with the people. Behold, he is hid now in some pit or in some other place, and it will come to pass, when some of them be overthrown at the first, that whosoever heareth it will say, There is a slaughter among the people that follow Absalom. And he also that is violent, whose heart is as the heart of a lion, shall utterly melt. For all Israel knoweth that thy father is a mighty man, and they which be with him are violent men. Therefore I counsel that all Israel be generally gathered unto thee from Dan, even to Beersheba, as the sand that is by the sea for multitude, and that thou go to battle in thine own person. So shall we come upon him in some place where he shall be found, and we will light upon him as the dew falleth on the ground. And of him and of all the men that are with him, there shall not be left so much as one. Moreover, if he be gotten to a city, then shall all Israel bring ropes to that city, and we will draw it into the river until there be not one small stone found there. And Absalom and all the men of Israel said, The counsel of Hushai the Archite is better than the counsel of Ahithophel. For the Lord hath appointed to defeat the good counsel of Ahithophel, to the intent that the Lord might bring evil upon Absalom. Then said Hushai unto Zadok and to Abiathar the priest, Thus and thus did Ahithophel counsel Absalom and the elders of Israel, and thus have I counseled. Now therefore send quickly and tell David, saying, Lodge not this night in the plains of the wilderness, but speedily pass over, lest the king be swallowed up and all the people that are with him. Now Jonathan and Amias stayed by Enrogel. You got that one. For they might not be seen to come into the city, and a wench came and told them, and they went and told King David. Nevertheless, a lad saw them and told Absalom, but they went both of them away quickly, and came to a man's house in Beruim, which had a well in his court, whither they went down. And a woman took and spread a covering over the well's mouth, and spread ground corn thereon, and the king, and the thing was not known. And when Absalom's servant came to the woman to the house, they said, Where is Amias and Jonathan? And the woman said unto them, They be gone over by the brook of water. And when they had sought and could not find them, they returned to Jerusalem. And it came to pass after they were departed that they came up out of the well, went and told King David, and said unto David, Arise, and pass quickly over the water, for thus hath Ahithophel counseled against you. Then David arose, and all the people that were with him, and they passed over Jordan by the morning light. There lacked not one of them that was not gone over Jordan. And when Ahithophel saw that his counsel was not followed, he saddled his ass and arose and got him home to his house, to his city, and put his household in order, and hanged himself and died, and was buried in the sepulcher of his father. Let's pray. Lord, I thank you for your word that you've allowed us to read. God, I pray that you'd use me again to speak to your people. What a privilege it is. Lord, I pray that you would help us to be in tune to the Holy Spirit as he speaks to us. And we ask you these things in your name. Amen. Before I go on any further, my wife trained me last night on how to say a few of these names. And I thank her greatly for that because I struggle with pronunciation. I don't know why, but I've always struggled with that. We all have our faults about us. That just happens to be one of mine. That's how God made me. I've accepted it, so you have to accept it as well. So anyway, as we continue to go on, this series of messages tonight about suicide, we will also see how we have such great hope. The Lord, through his word, has given us a way for us to lean on him during the deep, dark moments of our lives. And I thank God that we have that hope in him, that we can lean on him, that we can depend on him, that we can go to him whenever we need him. Before I even get to the story of Ahithophel, we will continue to shine the light on those that we encounter every day. People around us, all around us, deal with depression. Depression is usually one of the causes, one of the main causes of why a majority of people, when they get depressed, will take their own life. They begin to think about their sorrows that they're going through. They begin to think that there's no way out. They begin to think that all hope is lost. And what usually happens is it causes them to take their life. But we do have a great hope tonight that can help us overcome those things, especially when it comes to battle and depression, is that we have a hope in the Lord Jesus Christ who can help us through those times. People in all walks of life will take their own life. I have heard about it and read about it from the poorest of the poor to the richest of the rich, where they're not happy and they take their own life. And we as a church can be a help to them. This is the reason for this series of messages is for this, so that we can be paying attention to those that God has surrounded us with. And I'm talking about this group of body of believers, not only this body of believers, but we all go to a workforce. We all deal with men and women that we are surrounded with on a daily basis that are going through some dark moments in their life. And if we don't pay attention to the signs that are out there, we might miss an opportunity to be a help to them to where they don't take their own life. And here's one of the things that we need to do when we encounter those people that might be thinking of this process, and that is this: constantly remind them that there is hope. Constantly remind them that there is hope. I was able to get reacquainted with a friend of mine that I have not seen in about 30-some years. And that was able to come about because of Facebook. There are some good advantages to Facebook besides seeing what people eat on a daily basis. I'm so glad that you had tuna salad for lunch. I'm better off knowing those things. But I was able to get reacquainted with a gentleman that I have not seen for about 30 years. And God has his reasons for us coming back together. And I believe it is for this particular reason, so that he can be a help to me as we go through this. So I was able to lean on this friend for some advice because of what he has seen take place in some lives that he knew. I want you to catch that he knew. He gives me great advice that I would like to pass on to you folks because I think it'd be very beneficial for you and for myself to be able to see these things. But before I even go on with that, I'm going to share a few of the stories that I was able to hear. Suicide just isn't something that has popped up. It's not something that just took place a month ago, a year ago, or 10 years ago. Suicide has been around since the times of the Bible, which is why we're reading about it, which is why we're going through with it. We have dealt with four of them. Now we're on number five, and we got two more to go. And it's been around for a long time. But just to rehash why some in the Bible has taken their own life, because I know not everybody's been here for this, we've dealt with shame. We dealt with that with Saul. The second one that we dealt with was fear. That was his armor bearer. The third one was anger. Can anybody give me the idea of the answer who the anger one was? The angry one? It was Samson. Exactly. Thank you. And the fourth one that we dealt with last week was pride. And these are some things that they battle with that causes them to go through this. So to get back to my friend here, he had lost a co-worker to suicide just recently. And I can imagine it was probably devastating to hear the news that this took place. On top of that, within the year, a secretary had a son, and for some reason, the 24-year-old son committed suicide, took his own life. And he began to share something with me that I thought was very interesting. He said the common denominator was this: they had lost hope. Hope in what the world had to offer them. They lost all hope. He had sat down sometime last year, and then he began to read a book called Man's Search for Meaning. It was written by a survivor of a Nazi concentration camp. I don't know if any of you folks have had the privilege to visit a concentration camp, but I believe my wife has when she was over in Germany some years ago. And I believe, as she was telling me the story, that she can really feel the, what, how'd you say that? You can feel depressing, oppressing. You can feel the, yeah, okay, she said it. But so she's been there. She's seen these things. He admits it was a tough read. But he goes on and says the common thing that they had was people lost hope. When they lost hope, they would give up and die. That's what they would do. His thoughts don't end there. He goes on and he gives some sound advice. We as Christians have the hope the lost world needs, and that is Jesus Christ. There are a lot of hurting people in the world that need to know of this great truth, which is why when you begin to think about why we begin doing some things when it comes to visitation, because the world needs to hear the truth about Jesus Christ. Because they need to realize that there is hope out there. There is somebody out there that wants to help them. There is somebody out there that wants to give them wisdom and give them guidance and direction in their life. And that is Jesus Christ. There are a lot of hurting people in the world that need to know of this great truth. They have no hope because they don't have Jesus. And that's unfortunate. I begin to think about that thought. They have no hope because they don't know Jesus. But we have the Bible right at our fingertips to this day. That wasn't capable back in the days previous to ours. Today we have the internet. We have our Bibles. We carry the phones on our Bible. We have many ways to hear of God's gospel. But yet, even with the technology that we have, there are so many people that still refuse to hear about the Word of God. They still refuse to hear about what He can do. They have no hope because they don't have Jesus. Be thankful today that you have Jesus Christ in your life. I want you to be thankful for that, because there are a lot of churches out there that don't teach that. There are a lot of churches out there that steer you away from that. So be thankful that you have Jesus Christ today. It then goes on and begins to say some people have chemical balances that need professional help medically. And that is true. Some, unfortunately, during this process, turn to other things that bring them further to despair. And here's, he goes on and he mentions a few things that they will turn to. Some will turn to alcohol. We all know when you consume too much alcohol, you become in a drunken state. You don't begin to think. You don't think clearly. You do things that you don't normally do. And some, they just constantly begin to fill themselves up with alcohol. It's all they ever do. And they're miserable in their sorrows, and they're trying to drink it away. But they can't drink enough because their sorrows are still there. And as soon as reality grips them once again, they go right back to the bottle. That's sad. That's what the world does. So they'll turn to alcohol. The next thing that they'll turn to drugs. To cope because of the stigmatized perception of medical help. My wife and I, we just ran into a young man at the store last night. Something that took place in his life this very week. How he just turned to drugs. Started off with something simple, marijuana, and then went into some other junk that really messed him up. I mean, it messed him up big time. To where he went on a rage. He couldn't control himself. He was doing some things that I'm not going to say from this pulpit because it's not very pretty. And so they turn to these things. And then they get further and further into it. Well, this drug's not helping with this. So then they turn to another drug that's more powerful that will be able to help them take their mind off of things. Folks, I see people in our own city here that are walking around that are totally, totally doped up throughout the day. They have no idea what they're thinking. They have no idea where they're going. To be honest with you, I don't even know if they know they're alive. They have this blank look about them all the time. I see them every single day. And they need help. They're this way because they feel like they've lost hope. During this process, you see them for many days at a time. And then out of nowhere, a week or two has gone by, and you realize they're no longer around. The majority of them take their own lives. Because they realize they have no hope. They have no hope because they don't have Jesus. So what can we do to be a help to them? Helping them turn from these drastic measures to escape the hurt is turning them to the great physician. You want healing in your life? You need hope in your life? Then, my friend, let's encourage them to turn to the great physician. Who can be able to help in those times of need. He is the one that can give them the true hope that they truly need in life. Give them the hope of what? Give them the hope of the gospel. Do not damage them when they need medical help or professional help. Some of us will say, well, that's not the right way to go. Sometimes that's the only way to go in some cases. Some will say this can never happen to the ones that I love. Again, we don't know what people battle on a daily basis. I don't know if you're battling depression right now. I don't know if you're battling some type of suicidal thoughts. I don't know those things because we all struggle privately. There are some things that we don't want to let out because we don't want other people to know what we're actually struggling with. And some people fall into such a great deep depression that causes them to take their own life. So they battle things on a daily basis. He gives me one final story that was totally heartbreaking to me. And as I began to read the story, my response was this: wow. I have no response. I can only say wow. So I'm going to read this to you. He knew of a young couple in his church who needed professional help. Let me say this again. There's a young couple in a church who knew a young lady who needed professional help. By the way, let me first point something out here. And I know I've said some medical help here, but if you are a member of a local church, you should always seek the counsel of the pastor first. Don't give up traditional counsel. You need to seek the pastor of the church. This young lady had battled depression after giving childbirth. I know that there are some women in here that have battled these things. My wife went through a brief spell of it after our daughter was born. That's something that women deal with, that men, we have no idea what they're going through. Their body literally just went from a huge transformation. They just had a human being come out of their body. And now they are responsible for that little child. And I don't understand the thought process that goes behind it, but I do know that a lot of ladies struggle with this, and they call that, was it postpartum depression? That's what they call that. And so this is what she was having a problem with. But because of the stigmatism, she would not get the help that she needed. As I continue with the story, I really want you to prepare yourself for this. She took her 2-month-old infant in her arms and walked in front of a semi on an interstate and committed suicide. A lady in the church. But by the grace of God, the child lived. The greatest thing that we can do as a church, and I asked them this question. I said, what can we do to be a help? What can we do so we don't have people within our congregation, or maybe not even in our congregation, but people that we know outside of here, what can we do? And he gives me this advice. The greatest thing that we can do as a church is give the hope of Jesus Christ to the lost and dying world. And support our brothers and sisters in Christ who need help. To help them get past the chemical imbalances that they may have. Because that's what causes some of these things. Now that's just a little story of help that he was able to do. Now I'm just going to look at this very briefly and we'll be done here tonight. I'm going to look at why Ahithophel had taken his own life. And the reason is given in verse number 23. Let's read this again. It says, and when Ahithophel saw that his counsel was not followed, he saddled his ass and arose and got him home to his house, to his city, and put his household in order, and hanged himself and died and was buried in the sepulcher of his father. I have given you 4 reasons earlier on of why people will take their own lives. Tonight I'm going to give you the 5th reason why this man and why many other men and many other women might take their life in from now even into the future. Remember the stat I gave you last week. There is a person who commits suicide every 11 minutes. So just in the time that we've been here, almost 3 people have gone out into eternity. That's sad when you begin to think about those things. He had given some counsel earlier on, and it wasn't received, and it wasn't followed. So here's the 5th reason why some may commit suicide, and it is this. Ahithophel had felt useless. He felt useless. He felt rejected. And he took his own life. Some people take rejection hard. It doesn't sit well with them. And then they go to extreme measures. They begin to feel sorry for themselves. Nobody likes to feel useless. People like to feel needed. People like to feel that they're being heard. People like to feel that they're being taken seriously. And then when you get to that place of feeling useless, those thoughts begin to creep in your mind. Well, I try to give them my thought. I try to give them help. And I've been rejected. I'm useless. And when you begin to feel useless, you begin to feel worthless. And because you feel worthless, some people will take their life. But there's hope out there. There's hope out there. And that hope is in Jesus Christ. Turn your Bibles to the book of Romans chapter 5, and we'll close with these verses here. I never really thought about it like this. But in Romans 5, verses 1 through 11, we'll see some things here. It says, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. By whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand and rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. Let me stop before I go on. You see the word access in there. A child of God can go to God any time of the day. When you're a saved child, you have access to Him 24/7. I want to stop and just say that real quick because, again, I don't know what people are going through mentally. Again, I don't know what people are going through spiritually either. But I do know this. We have the ability to call upon the Lord. You guys didn't know what I was probably doing up here because this morning, I'll be honest with you, I was not expecting to deliver the morning message. As I was over there with Pastor just before I came over, I said, Dad, just stay home. We're good. I got it handled. It's a little white lie. Sometimes you got to do those things. But he came over and he sat back there and he wasn't going to do the service and completely fine. By the way, 48 years in the ministry, he has every right to sit back. And he's here when he can be. But I spent a majority of my time just bowing my head. Lord, I need your help. I need your help. God, please help me in these next few moments because I can't do it without you. We have access to go to God any time of the day. And when we go to Him, He gives us hope. Thank God for that. Let's continue to read on here. Verse number 3, it says, and not only so, but we glory in tribulations, also knowing that tribulation worketh patience. We're to glory in tribulations? Why are we to glory in tribulations? Because we have hope in Jesus Christ. That's why we are to glory in tribulations. Go to the book of James, it says, account it all joy as we fall into divers temptations. But Chad, that seems kind of silly. We're to glory in our tribulations and we're to count it all joy in our divers temptation? Yes, because we have hope in Jesus Christ. We have what the world doesn't have. By the way, the world can have them. All they have to do is accept them. Plain and simple. Let's continue to go on. It says, in patience, experience, and experience hope. And hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son, much more being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. And not only so, but we also joy in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we have now received the atonement. If you want any type of hope in your life, accept Jesus Christ, your Lord and Savior. Accept Him as your Lord and Savior. Again, I said earlier, the reason why people don't have hope is because they don't have Jesus Christ. We have been through many elections in our lifetime. Politicians will come up and they'll spill their lies, lie after lie after lie. You can count on me. I'm going to give you hope. I will do this for you, and I will do that for you. Then they turn around and they end up being some of the biggest disappointments that we can ever imagine. And then we lose all hope in them. There is one who has always kept his promises, and there is one who will always give us hope during these times in our life. And that's our Father, through his Son, Jesus Christ. I thank God for that. So folks, there are people out there in this world tonight that might even be in this church tonight that might feel useless, and they might feel rejected just like Ahithophel did. So I'm encouraging you to see these signs in individuals. Well, how can we see those signs? Well, when people begin to talk to us, here's what we need to do. We need to listen. Give them the time of day. Don't think that they're not important. And just be there for them. Well, I don't know what to say to them. Again, just listen. Just listen. There's times where I've been in the hospital room, I don't know what to say to people. It's just being there. That means the world to them. And it's so true. So I'd encourage you to be a blessing to people that will feel this way. Because the last thing that we want them to feel is useless and rejected. Especially by the body of Christ. They need us. And we need them. Amen? Let's stand with our heads bowed and our eyes closed, and we will pray and be dismissed. Lord, again, it has been a joy to be here tonight. I thank you for your people. I thank you for their faithfulness to your house today. God, I pray as we all go our separate ways tonight that you just guide us home. Lord, I know that in many cases there's going to be some fellowship with some people after church, and God, I pray that you just bless in that fellowship as well. God, I pray for our pastor that you just, Lord, raise and lift him up. You just put your hand of healing upon him tonight. God, we love him, and we're thankful that you have given us a man for 48 years of his life, faithful to you. So God, I just pray that you would continue to be faithful to him and just heal his body. Be with Mrs. Springer as well. Just watch over her. I thank you for her. I thank you for her grit. I thank you for her strength. God, I just thank you for this body of believers that you've allowed me to worship with today. Each and every single one of them means something to me. And I thank you for that. I covet their love. I covet their prayers. And I covet their fellowship. God, I pray that you'd bless us as we leave here tonight. And God, I pray for this upcoming Wednesday night service as we go into another topic of a toxic believer. God, I just thank you for all you've done. In your name, amen.